Howdy, Beatitudes. Jeff Shufflebine here. Wanted to give you just a heads up before this show starts. We have an amazing show for you with our guest, Steve Pokorny. But just a warning about the topic. Today's show goes into depth about pornography and helping people to have freedom from that compulsion. So while it, again, still has clean language and great humor, it may not be appropriate for all ages. So we just want you to use your discretion on when you listen to this and who you listen to this with. Always, God bless you. Looking forward to another great show.
Oh, yeah, Beatitudes. Welcome to another great episode. I guarantee it's a great episode of the Beatitudes, a show for Christian men walking arm in arm towards eternity through fraternity. It's incredibly fun for us.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Did you turn into the Pirate Men's Warehouse? Is that what that was?
I was just so excited.
Yarr, I guarantee it.
Pirate Men's Warehouse voice that you're hearing right now is none other than Nicholas Besner.
Yo, that's me.
And then we got the greatest heresy of all time, Paul Kolker.
Why, thank you so much. That's all I ever ask is for people to greet me that way.
The greatest hair you see.
Oh, nice. Redemption. Done. Redemption. That's what this is all about. I'm Jeff Shufflebine, speaking of redemption. And we're excited to be here today with a guest who came in town from San Antonio, Texas.
Y'all.
to have a great time with us. We want to just go ahead and just dive right in here with you. But here's the funny thing. I don't think I've ever said your last name to you out loud. So I'm going to say it.
Let's go.
Welcome to the show, Steve Pokorny.
Wow, you got it.
Okay.
Awesome. Because I've gotten a popper canache. I've gotten a pocket. Hold on. Can I just call you that anyway for the rest of the show?
Yes,
popper
you canache. Can.
Yeah. I've gotten Pokemon. I've gotten Patravaz. Whatever you want to go with.
Pokernoy.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut.
I one time was in
pizza.
That is not exactly anywhere.
It starts
close.
With a P.
In college, direction I heard somebody say that they knew me and they were talking to me, but they didn't know that it was me that they were talking about. They're like, I know that guy. His name's Jeff Schlitterbahn. And I was like, nope, that's not it. And they're like, it's like Schlotsky's. And I'm like, it's serious but fun, but no. Steve, you know, this show has been. Now we've been recording for over a year.
Yeah.
Wow. We met you, Nick and I did, in a place called Cincinnati.
That exists, too.
Cincinnati.
And we actually, our show came out 2 days later, and we were like giggling about it on the way to that conference where we met you. But we said to you that week, we were like, you're going to be on the Beatitudes someday.
Praise the Lord.
And somehow you didn't even have to question, like, this thing doesn't exist, but I guess I'm coming to town for it.
You're a prophet.
Go on.
A for-profit prophet.
Tell us, for the crowd, you run a group called Freedom Coaching. What is your world? Freedom Coaching. I mean, I sat there puzzled at first, and then I was like, wow, this guy's made a whole career out of this.
Yeah, well, some people, I think a lot of people who are going to be listening to this and watching this are familiar with the movie Sound of Freedom.
Right? Oh, yeah.
It exploded onto the scene on July 4th last year, which is all about sex trafficking, right? And I like to say we get to disrupt that supply chain.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm. So we work with men and women, some of the most broken men and women who are attached to pornography.
Okay.
And to help them be free forever.
How does that work when you're meeting somebody at a dinner party?
What does it say on your business card?
Well, if you take my 7 letters of my name, going back to our name, well, the word porn is actually in it. So some people just know what they were supposed to be, apparently.
You could have been a corn resource like me. That was your other. I did that at Frito-Lay.
Only if he was a resource for the band Korn.
Because it's with a K. Yeah. That's what I was actually applying for, and they made me work with Chips.
Wrong one.
You just missed that.
Yeah.
Just missed that.
Yeah, Fishers of something. Okay, you help porn-addicted men and women to become free. What does that mean?
Sure. And let's go after some terms first.
Please. I guarantee I've used a lot of terms that aren't really resonating with your coaching.
All right. So let's talk about first the word pornography.
Okay.
Right. Because a lot of people will think today any of this stuff just online. Right. Mm. We define pornography as any image, written or audio that's trying to get us to use another person as a means of one's own selfish sexual gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means movies, television, magazines, stuff in the online. Most of the stuff, as we were talking about before we went online on air, right? Most people, this is the air that we breathe, and we don't think anything of it. Like the Super Bowl halftime show. Sorry, Beyonce. Sorry, J-Lo. Right? A lot of stuff out there could be would decades before considered pornographic.
Sure.
Right? And then the other term I'd like to clarify. We don't use the term addicted.
Okay.
So addicted, when oftentimes when we hear the idea of addiction, once hooked, always hooked. The term we like to use, and there's science that backs this up, is compulsion. It's serious. Mm. It's something that needs to be dealt with, but it can be healed.
It can be deep-rooted compulsion, but it doesn't have to be a death sentence that you're addicted, and that's never going away.
Yeah, because so, and this is not to knock. We've heard of things like Alcoholics Anonymous or Sexaholics Anonymous, 12-step programs, and this is not to knock anything they're doing. There's accountability, there's fellowship, all those things are needed. But for a lot of people who enter into those programs, I would say, or those, I guess we'll call it program here, I'm always going to be dealing with this. The way in which I cope with this problem is I got to get to another meeting. And in our world, that's not freedom. You're called to go live your life as God calls you to live. It doesn't mean we're not going to lean on others. No, we're meant to enter into communion with others, right? Hmm. But if I have to be simply limping along in my life, constantly looking over my shoulder at the problems that I have, well, then I think we're stuck. There's got to be a better way.
Well, and there's something to that too, right? Like if you say like, I am blank an addict, right? Then you're never not versus, you know, if I have this compulsion, I have it or I don't have it. You can shed that maybe a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, great point, Nick. Like our identity is not in, as we believe that as Catholics, as Christians, we're beloved sons or daughters of God.
Sure.
Right? We do some horrible things and sometimes some horrible things happen to us. Right. But if my view is my bad action or my attachment or my compulsion, that's who I am. I can't see outside of that realm. Mm. And so how am I ever to move forward from that? And I think we have a tendency to put people in those boxes and then I will never be able to see you differently.
Whew.
It's like label the behavior rather than the person.
Yeah. Well, and I like that too, because if you look at other languages, like if you look at Italian or Spanish, a lot of the Romance languages, they'll say things like, I have cold, right? Like I have the temperature cold, the equivalent of that. Now, I mean, it means the same thing as when we say I am cold, right?
But Tango frio.
Tango frio, right? Yeah. Like I have cold or I have hunger or I have, I mean, it's these temporary states where it's like, I just sort of have this right now versus I am this. And I think that one is more German based. It's like, ich bin, right? Like
not,
I am.
Not a romance language.
Correct. Very, very obviously not a
romance. Sorry, Jeff, with all apologies.
That's why I actually changed it to Shufflebine. The rednecks got all the joy.
Amen to that, y'all.
But but that difference though of like possessing something maybe or being, or even temporarily being sort of possessed, not in the capital P, right? Like not in the demonic possession, but like being possessed by this thing in a compulsive way. Mm-hmm. Versus, this is the sum total of who I am. You're making that distinction.
Absolutely, and because if we want to make a headway in life in anything we're doing, right? If in order to do that, we have to know first who we are, and this is a major part of the work we do of helping to reestablish true identity in the Father as a beloved son or daughter, and then from there, once we've been working on that, then I can start to move forward. The things that I used to be attached to, or maybe I'm still working through them, right? They don't take on as much weight as they once did.
Wow.
Okay, so if somebody's engaged with freedom coaching, what is it? They're getting coached by you, by people. They're just in a community. What does it mean to work with your group for somebody who's ready for freedom?
Great question. So we have currently, there are 8 coaches. I'm one of them. We're hopefully bringing on a couple others. This is the number one sin confessed in the confessional. It is, we work with men, women. We've worked as young as 8. I've worked with 80, an 82-year-old. Worked with priests, with seminarians. This knows no bounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, you think about how pervasive the internet is, right? I mean, and it's a click away, you know, anywhere. So, I mean, and it's on your phone or it could be. I mean, so, it's just you got to, it would make sense why it's the number one sin. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And what we do in our work is we're focused primarily on the four stages in which we work with. So stage one, we want to work through a client's history, but in a different way than a counselor or a therapist would do that. So what are we doing? We're looking not so much at the event, but at the emotions. What were the emotions that happened at the event? Because all pornography use, unchaste behavior, has its roots in a foul understanding or a misappropriate understanding, again, of our own identity. And we do things, we've been programmed by certain emotions. And so any trauma, right, the basic layman's version of a trauma is this event happened, let's say, Jeff, when you were seven. This happened when you were seven. Jeff gets into a situation, 2024, reacts a similar way, doesn't know why, has no idea logically that it's happened, that happened when he was when you were seven, right?
Yeah.
And so in order to, shall we say, to disarm that bomb, we have to get to the emotional root. And so there's a whole process in which simply talking about what the emotions were, because, I mean, how many men, and now an increasing number of women, are getting exposed to this earlier and earlier, but they never have talked to anybody. What were the emotions that were going on there? And we like to say the three-headed hydra in our work is guilt. I've done a bad thing. Shame. I'm a bad person with no inherent worth. And self-hatred, right? And if we have no outlet to talk about this stuff, right, try to bring that stuff, this bubbling chasm, right, in there, into what's supposed to be a healthy relationship, right? But I've never dealt with that stuff. It's going to either come out in unchaste behavior, come out in anger, come out in depression, come out in anxiety, a lot of other flow out from that, right?
This is so fascinating. I think about that, you know, shame. I never have heard it broken down in those three different component parts you're talking about, but I feel like what I've heard or witnessed or understood is, like, when somebody hits shame, then they don't even feel like it's okay to talk about because now they are a bad person.
Yeah.
And then once it's not talked about and you can't work your way through it, it becomes this black, solitary darkness that you're living in. And that becomes what I think feels like slavery, right? Slavery to something, to a compulsion. That's wild.
Another light episode for everybody.
This Barry, if you're expecting a laugh, just hold on to the very end. We'll do something.
It's coming.
We went and saw Jason Everett speak the other day, and I was thinking about this, like, the attack on family and morality. One of the best ways to do that, and I've read a bunch of this stuff, is, like, attack the man. You attack the man with promiscuity, prostitution, pornography. There's all these ways that you just rip apart that person, because then if they lose their worth, then they don't feel worthy of real relationship, of fatherhood.
Tears down the family.
The loop.
Snowballs, yeah.
The loop.
Yeah,
that's an ugly loop.
Oh, it's brutal, and that's why we're seeing this affect all, and I would say, so many of the societal ills have its root back here. Let's go. It's 2024. It's a year of politics. Nobody really says, I really trust politicians, right? And the people who are our politicians, who are our leaders today, they've been formed by this stuff, whether it's directly or indirectly, right? And nobody, in many cases, yes, there's exceptions, such as the state of Utah, that has declared pornography as a public health crisis.
Mm.
But what are they doing about it? What are they doing to actually solve the problem?
Yeah.
Okay, so if somebody gets into coaching or a program with you, is this like a defined amount of time? It's a process that they have to work their way through? Like, what would somebody expect? And by the way, a bunch of you listening and experiencing this over time and space know that this is something you could use real help with. What is somebody, what do they expect to walk into?
Sure.
Now they start digging into their, like, emotional root of, how long is this going to go? What does it look like? How do you make money?
first thing I would say. So, yeah, it's really strange. Like, I actually make a living on this. I've been doing this since 2011, really, and it's actually supporting our family, and I'm actually supporting other people's family through this. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
The demand is high.
It's very high. And
unfortunately.
I say this publicly. I have been trying to work myself out of a job for years, now a decade, right? But we keep getting more clients coming in, right? Which says, we're in the right place. This is my avocation that we're called to. So first and foremost, Jeff, philosophically, you're coming to a place where you're going to be received.
Oh, yeah.
I come to see you. we come to love you. Because that's one of our big things. I wrote a book called Redeemed Vision. Took 14 years to write this. And
I read 14 pages of it.
I'm so proud of you. So proud of you.
Over the last 14 years.
Awesome.
Page a year.
That sounds like grad school for me. Anyway, I won't go into that. So So from that, we don't play the shame-based approach. We come to receive you, we come to see you, and we want to help you to learn how to see. So four parts in the work we do. We'll get into the other three parts, but we like to say parts 2 through 4 are about 15 meetings. It's at stage one, person's history. Everybody's got a different history, yeah. Right? So typically the sweet spot is between 25 and 40 meetings. These are personalized. These are live. They're obviously over video communication, right? And some people just need a space to open this. They need a space to open their space, right?
And how frequently do you meet to make that a reality?
So in a perfect world, once a week, we would say. If a client needs more time, we would say no more than 2 weeks, because momentum's a really big deal on this. But some clients like to talk, and that will throw our timeline out the window, right? And that's okay, right? Yeah. But we want to walk with them on this.
I wish people would hear that. Like, if anybody's in a ministry, or if anybody's in a nonprofit, or there's a cause you care about greatly, mm-hmm. I think this concept of, like, we're just here to receive, like, let's just be in dialogue, yeah. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. We were visited the other day by somebody who's doing a lot of work in the pro-life movement and talking about how come we're not hanging out with, having lunches with people that are on the other side of that debate, like an abortionist, somebody who works at a Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of all these stories you see on the internet. I don't know any of these personally, but somebody who befriends a Ku Klux Klan member to just be into dialogue and relationship, and then that causes those breakthroughs. In fact, I know what it was. I was reading the real story of the guy from American History X, like the actual guy that show's about.
Oh, yeah.
And like how he in jail came to find like the error in his views. And then you see all the ones of somebody who, you know, a black man in America going to a Klan rally as a guest because he's trying to actually create real relationship. Well, here we are in pornography, which I don't know who the enemy is to you, but we do it in this, like, nobody's going to accept me. Mm. What if instead you just realize that this is a place, especially with you, but if we all treated it that way, of just welcoming arms. Like, I would like to just be fully accepting of you, the dignified human being, regardless of your background.
Yeah, because, I mean, what's the lie of shame? You'll never be enough.
Yeah.
You screwed up. You'll never be accepted. End it. Right, that's the message. Whereas the truth is, in anything we're dealing with, right, we all have our skeletons in our closet. For me, it was pornography, right, and then there's still other things I'm dealing with. Ask my wife, right. But with this here is we're coming to a place where we're encouraging you, starting with us as coaches, to lead with weakness, which as a guy, that's insane. You mean I'm supposed to let somebody see this stuff, but it's the stuff that allows us to connect. And connections, and so the opposite of compulsion is not sobriety, it's connection, as has been said. Right? We want to connect. That's why, like, I love what we're doing here. We're in the room together, brothers. It's good.
Boy, y'all got sweating a good back slap there. I know everybody can hear that. My back is just sitting here. Yeah.
Can I get an ice pack?
Sorry.
No, that was
good. I'm a little enthusiast.
When he starts, he gave you the stuff and the what's for.
I was just trying to speak into your German ethos.
Harness, wait till get the who's the what's it.
Sehr gut.
Auf Wiedersehen. That's a German noise.
And it was on that date that the Beatitudes went full German.
Brother, it's Beatitudes. Beatitudes.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't either. It's total
jaw.
Yeah. Steve, my goodness. Where to go from here except for to back up and say, like, what were you doing before you were coaching people on this?
Good question. So, again, I was hooked for over 12 years on this. Came from a broken family. My father tried to commit suicide when I was 5. Mm-hmm. And so growing up without a father, not knowing my own worth and dignity.
Tried but survived.
Mm-hmm. And it was in a nursing home until I was 17 when he would pass away to cancer, brain and lung cancer. And so I had to grow up really fast. And in the middle of that, sixth grade, images were introduced to me. and then seventh grade videos, and then the internet would hit 2 years later, 2 or 3 years later. And so full on in this, and having to deal with this, having to work through this. There was a lot of healing that happened, which we can go specific if you want. And then from that, I was working actually in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and the Office of Marriage and Family Life, and we were giving marriage prep retreats about 2 a month, and people would come up to me asking, you know, what do I do? I've got the same kind of issue. What should I do? Because I was giving my testimony. And so I guess I can help you. And then from there, 2011 is when this was born.
Wow.
Yeah. Meeting a need. Seeing a need and trying to meet it.
Did you grow up siblings?
Oh, yeah. I have one brother.
Older or younger?
Older than me. 3.5 years
okay.
old. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot, my friend. Well, I'm curious. Maybe go into that a little bit. How do you go through all that, working for the Archdiocese, tell us about like this. How does this become a full-time job and not just something where you're trying to help other men and other humans? I mean, I know you're talking about men and women. How do you turn this into a full-time job?
So let's back up. Let's go to 2004. So my first major conversion from this, Franciscan University, they have once a month when school's in session, they have Festival of Praises. And I heard in the midst of 2,000 people, a very important phrase from Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm doing something new. Do not perceive it. And this little streams of living water will begin to flow. And I began to open a crack to him, began to open my heart to Jesus and what he wants to do with me. And so a couple of weeks later, I'm going to daily mass, and I'm on a particular Wednesday, I moved what Christ had done for me. But then I realized it wasn't just Jesus, but it was the Father, the one who I thought had walked out on me, had abandoned me, had left me, but no, he had been holding me, had been carrying me, like the footprints poem.
Yep.
Right. And I didn't have to run anymore. And then immediately in the chapel, these chains fell off me. Boom, 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 boom. And this movement from wanting to use my sisters to a movement to want to love and serve them. And for a period of about 4 months, it was solid. It was great, right? But there was going to be deeper healing that happened. In the midst of that 4 months, though, 3 a.m, God woke me up. He said, get up now. He's like, get up and write. So just started writing, which would be the starting point to my testimony, starting point to what would become Freedom Coaching, redeemed through Redeemed Vision. And so from there, 2011, this gets launched, and again worked on and off of my book. 2017, the final edits came out, and I shared with you before the show, the final edits. That day, Hugh Hefner died. So changing the guard. So can something good come from Cleveland? Well, can something good come from Nazareth? Well, I'm from Cleveland originally, so you missed the connection there. And so in the midst of this, you know, I slowly but surely, and I was just a lone wolf in this, in doing Freedom Coaching on and off, while doing other various works, other businesses. I learned how to get good at cold calling, doing some direct sales work.
Yeah.
And then started talking to a guy on Instagram, and he would become my first coach. And then another one, I had a client I'm working with on meeting four. He's like, dude, I want to do what you do. That's how Chris Ricketts talks. Okay, I'm like, settle down. Well, he became a coach. And then now other ones. And now another client who I finished with, he just came on board, and I have another client. He's in training right now, and hopefully we'll be launching him in about 2 to 3 months.
I got to believe theology of the body is part of all of this. Is that an accurate statement going?
Very much so. So I got bit by the theology of the body bug, shall we say, a friend of mine gave me a tape way back in 2002. And I was big into apologetics at the time. And I'm like, what is it? She's like, just listen to it. Remember cassette tapes? I know. And and I just put it on the top of my, or in the pile somewhere, and I'm shaving, getting ready for teaching. Both those days are over. And there's this strange guy. His name's Christopher West. He's giving a talk in Austin, Texas, where we keep things weird, y'all. Yeah. And he's saying everything I could possibly want, like this deep, like stirring up this thing inside me. And ironically, I'm teaching about Genesis to my students. I'm teaching scripture at a high school. I'm like, what how different that year would have been if I would have brought this to the students. God works straight with crooked lines, right? Yeah. Especially ideas.
No, for sure.
Right? And so I 2 years later, I would go study at the Theology Body Institute.
I did.
I was the first class. We were the first class there. And yeah, and Christopher, I met him, almost died in a car accident. It wasn't a car accident so much, but on the way to go see him in Atlanta, and he just invited me, hey, why don't you come to the Institute? And it's very different now. They've incorporated a lot of healing prayer, and it's beautiful stuff. But and from that, yeah, and I would be going to Rome to study at the Franciscan campus in 2005, and I'm reading through all the audiences, whipping through them. I would go to the JP2 Institute, and so obviously Theology of the Body is incorporated in that. And there's something about, right, why is that message so darn impactful? Because if all we see is social media, and all we watch is the news, all we're going to believe is the broken stuff. And then we take a look at the horror of our life, trying to live what we want to live, is we hope is a good life, or we're choosing actions that we think are going to be good for us, right? But if it's not matched with grace, right, and especially if it's connected with sexuality that is so inherent to us as male or female, right, and nobody's talking to us about this stuff, right, what the truth is, then we're lost. But when we can finally see that there's actually a plan, that God has a plan for this, he has a plan for our sexuality, he has a plan for love, that the wounds I've done, and this is not what Easter season is all about. It's the redemption is here. This is the day of salvation. Yeah. Now is, right? Theology of the Body helps to bring that out. So that is certainly one of the core elements and parts of what's here in the work we do.
Like this whole idea, like you can't just tell somebody stop doing something.
It's a great advice, Jeff.
Don't do that. It's like parenting 101. It doesn't work. You got to tell people what to do. And I think if you're going to talk to people about dignity versus shame, you're going to talk about compulsion versus labels and all those things. If you don't have something to be aiming towards and modeling after, then it's just don't do this. And I don't know that sticks or works or has a long-term health to it. And Theology of the Body is the core, the genesis of this idea. Whether you're Catholic or not, it's irrelevant. It's like the journey into your dignity as a person is all wrapped into that Theology of the Body teaching.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if I like to say it two ways. Nature abhors a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Something's going to go in there. So if all and also where my focus goes, my energy flows. So if I'm constantly focused on the negative, I'm going to absorb towards the negative part, right? And if all I'm told is the point of my life is about getting laid and all these images I'm being surrounded by, well, then I'm going to go for that. Whereas what is the message? The biggest message of Theology of the Body is our bodies are a gift, and we find fulfillment by laying down our lives in service to others. That's fulfillment there.
How many people you ever meet, they think chastity means they can never have sexual intercourse again?
We're men in tight tights, right? The chastity belt, right? Sorry, going back to the late 90s.
It's like Monty Python.
No, it's Robin Hood. It was the spoof one.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, you have 7 kids, is that right?
Yeah.
So you've had sex only 7 times,
correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, chastity is amazing. Chastity is power. Chastity is integrity.
If people understood like what chastity is, in its purest form, feels like, I think they would love it, because love is a really great feeling. into that feeling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, chastity is not celibacy.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people get those two mixed up together.
It's about having this power to literally create new life, but not just create a new human life, but what are we creating today, right? I texted Jeff on the way over here, right? Let's go create something beautiful today, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way we get to do that is if we're in, and what are you doing with undivided life, right? Right? What are we doing? We're trying to live a life where there's as few as possible contradictions. And when we do that, I can go home, I can look at myself in the mirror right before bed and realize it wasn't a perfect day. Man, it was a good day. Yeah. And I think I contributed something good today.
So last night, we checked out this awesome film, Cabrini, went on a double date with the Besners. And then my wife and afterwards, we were talking about, I was going to get a chance to interview you today and hang out a little bit. And we started talking about chastity and how the deeper you go into your faith and your understanding of who we're called to be, the further you feel away from like sainthood, because you start to recognize the little things you used to say weren't a problem. Like you'd say, I'm not a bad person because I didn't commit murder. I'm not a bad person because I've never, had... any relations, physical relations with somebody other than my wife. But if you actually get into what chastity is, you start to realize there's been plenty of times where you haven't been emotionally faithful. You haven't been, even in your thoughts or in some of the pornography that is not pornography to the general public, like the Maxim magazine, the the
Instagram, just
image,
scrolling,
the, yeah, scrolling and getting stuck on an image or whatever it is, and just because it doesn't look like hardcore pornography doesn't then take away what it's doing to create a callus and to create a separation between you and spouse and you and the integrity of who you are. So you've inspired some great late night date conversations, my friend.
One more time.
Do you want to be inspired by something else?
Please.
It's called It's a Little Game.
Bring it on.
Called Blessed Are the Joke Makers, for they shall inherit the points.
Dad jokes. Here
we
go.
That's right. Pretty much, yeah. And the way this is going to work is we get a character card and a Catholic card game card, and we have to answer the Catholic card game prompt as whatever this character is. So we're all going to do it. We all get a shot at it, and you just get to decide which one you enjoyed the most, and that's the person that gets the points.
You've got 103 points to dish out.
There you go, 103. So the character is as a funeral director. Other things Abraham could have sacrificed.
You know, we had to get the extra large coffin for Abraham. Because it seems in the last 100 years of his life, he was really hitting the pasta hard. Could have sacrificed some Italian food and made it not so hard to build this box around him. That's where I'm going with this.
That's where you're going with that one.
Y'all didn't know Abraham was a huge dude.
or that Italian food existed in Mesopotamia.
A lot of stuff didn't make it in the Bible. The Torah.
In the ancient Near East.
We know, as you know, Abraham took his son Isaac up there, and luckily there was a ram caught in the thicket, but it was really next to the thicket that they don't talk about all that much.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know, we use a lot of flowers here at our funeral home, and he really could have sacrificed a few more flowers. Just, you know, those are living creatures and beautiful plants, and we need more of them around here. We got a lot of people going into the ground, and we need to make those plots beautiful. So could have sacrificed a few more flowers.
Could have sacrificed more flowers. Also, two hick funeral directors. Let's see where the third one is from.
Mortimer.
Yes. How did you know? Yes, I believe that Abraham could have sacrificed some of the good times he had in Ur on his way to Canaan, because he was having so much fun. But we do like to put the fun in funeral. But he could have sacrificed some of those good times.
I think I want to be buried at your funeral home. I'm in.
Are you giving him the points?
I am going to give him the points.
To Paul.
To Paul is getting the points.
Paul Bearer. The points.
He's the Paul Bearer.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Did you just take the points back with
that? I think that might be his.
I am the Punisher.
How did we not ever have Paul Bearer? Hey, Christopher, go ahead and keep the points with Paul, but double down. We're going to go ahead and give you 105 points, which makes you probably the leading guest of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Hey, speaking of big deals, for being our celebrity guest judge, you're getting a pair of socks from sockreligious.com.
Awesome.
You're getting the Cairo socks. You can get your own Beatitude socks by going there. Beatitudes is a slash that comes after sockreligious.com. And there's a discount.
I love the moment of awareness in your head.
Wait a second.
In your eyes, I mean, when you realized you said it backwards.
Wait, Beatitudes is not a website. I mean, it is, but that's not how you get the socks. Like, the full realization was awesome.
Beatitudes.
Sockreligious.com/Beatitudes.
See you after the break.
What is all this
happening? Two lights.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting. and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Hey, Beatitudes, it's Jeff here. When Nick and I set out and we started this company, Undivided Life, we decided to not use traditional healthcare, but we went with Solidarity Healthshare because we thought it was an affordable and ethical alternative that matched the needs of our business and our growing families. Since then, my family put Solidarity to the test. We've had pregnancies, babies, emergency room visits, even a brain surgery for one of my children, and Solidarity has been an incredible partner and has also had the cost and the ethical approach that we love. Here's a link for you to go check it out. learnmore.solidarityhealthshare.org/beatitudes. This is your chance to be in solidarity with the Shufflebine family.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Welcome back, everybody. We are with Steve Pokorny. Just hanging out and getting real deep, actually. And a question that I had as you were talking in the first segment was, you deal with people kind of coming out of or in a seeking to be healed or seeking freedom state. What, if anything, do you do on the prevention side of this debate or battle, if any?
Good question. Very good question. And I think there's obviously more to go.
Right? Oh, sure.
And I think we as a team have more to go on that. And we've taught it's bandwidth, right?
Yeah.
One practical thing we can point to, if anyone knows of Formed, form.org, they can go on there, look up a series called Redeeming Our Vision, 12-part series. There's a study guide there. It is perfect for parishes, for parish groups to talk about these things. It's the number one sin confessed in the confessional. We need to talk about it. I wouldn't throw kids into that series, but it's something that parents can take and then they can boil that down there. But again, our kids are getting into this younger and younger, and we do have to be age appropriate, intentional about this, starting with the dignity of the human person. Who are we? Are there good images? There certainly are. What makes them a good image? Okay, what is a bad image? What does that do? What does that feel like? If you see your I'm stealing this straight from Matt Fred when he was his own child, right? Was asking, right? If you see your sister, right, and you see her smiling in a picture, what kind of feelings come up from that, right? I feel warm. I feel happy. But if you were to see her getting hurt by someone, how would that make you feel? That would make me sad. Well, that's what pornography is. It's hurting other people. So, and again, why is pornography so effective? It's because it's in the realm of fantasy. If you want to kill the power of it, kill the fantasy, get into reality. What people want is fantasy. What they need is reality. So the more we can help our children get into what is real on this point. So I would educate them, especially, and this is what we talk about in our work, is that the human body, especially even the naked human body, is not pornographic. It's something good and wholesome. Obviously, in appropriate context, appropriate teaching of the body here, it's not something we have to freak out or worry about, right? And then from here, right, that our children, that your body is good as it is here, right? And so in a very, very practical thing, around our house, we have images of the Sistine Chapel. My daughters, who are now 13 and 11, have seen images of a naked man on the walls, specifically Adam, right? And it's a normal part of life here, right? So that because when what God has created is way more attractive than anything that lie can give, and the more that they're educated in this, so again, nature abhors a vacuum. We have to put something in its place. So if the body, if sexuality, if love, communion is what we're made for, show those images, have them see those things, so that inevitably, again, we're living in the pornified culture. Not that we go and introduce our children to this, but when it inevitably happens, right? They've seen the real. They've been programmed by the real. They're going to notice something's off here. And because we're building, so another second practical thing is spend those practical times together, right? Mm. At a minimum, 20 minutes a week with your child building relationships. If you can, five times a week of family dinners, right? Mm-hmm. So that when those important questions come up, they're going to come and talk to you as father or mother.
So everybody go back and listen to that on half speed again, because that was dense with good stuff.
It's your homework.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
And if you want to go deeper, pick up Redeem Vision. Pick up a copy of it. And it's on Amazon, or you can contact me and I'll get you one. There's a lot of practical nuggets in there.
When I think about, you built that series for Formed, and it has the workbook with it. There, nobody's talked to us about this yet, but there's maybe going to be one about the Beatitudes on Formed.
Really?
And the workbook is like helping you to decipher, what are they talking about? What accent do you think that was? Like, there's a lot of really good small group discussion questions.
The accent question is like German, Australian, Eastern European, and then Jeff.
Yes.
East Texas Jeff.
Yeah.
Middle Eastern yokel.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, like, it's going to be a really formative Formed series.
I can't wait.
Yeah, all about the Beatitudes and the and all of our...
It's going to be formative.
Yeah.
Very formative. Led by Paul.
I think we're going to do one all about the demandments. Hey, we have a question of the day, Steve. All four of us answer this question. It's called the Beatitudes TBD question of the day. This one is because we always talk about family on here and different stuff. We rarely, except for that when we interview Paul's brother, get to talk about our siblings. And so the question is really simple, which is, what is something, and I know you got one sibling you talked about earlier, what's something that you admire about one of your siblings? For those of us that have, you know, 2, 4, 5, whatever we have, pick one. What is something that you admire about one of your siblings? And maybe they'll get a chance to hear this. Maybe they're tuning into the Beatitudes pornography episode. That sounds crazy.
Yep. Maybe we don't title it
that. The porn episode. Oh, that one.
I mean, I guess it would drive clicks. I don't know. But
tell my siblings, you got to listen to this. Yeah.
They mentioned you in the porn.
You got to watch this on YouTube.
No. Oh.
Oh, God.
I'm so glad to be on the last episode of the Beatitudes.
Right? It's been a good run, guys.
We haven't been canceled yet.
It's been a good year. Wow.
I'll go first.
Thank you.
Since I put us all in a weird hole here.
Cool.
My brother, Rick, is probably one of the most gentle souls that I know, and I mean this in a good way. He's a strong man. But I watch the way that he interacts with people in our family, his daughters, his wife, my parents, and then even just his friends. And the way that he approaches things is so comforting, almost like the big bear you can trust kind of a thing, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm the guy who goes directly for things, and there's a time and a place for that. But I watch the way he can soften a situation. He can keep the dialogue going when other people are getting heated. He has just a calm demeanor, and I would love to be better or more like my brother in that way. So way to go, big bro.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What about you?
My sister, Jessica, she's got, I would just say, like, the most tender heart, like just gentleness about her, and everything that she, like, her whole, I guess, framework or approach to things is just like starting from the heart, you know. It's just this, like, how can I help, love, serve, do for you first, which is just awesome.
That's cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Said.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you got?
Yeah, so I actually want to mention my youngest brother, Kevin, who, Father Kevin, sorry, father, brother.
Not confusing at all.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Your younger father.
Yes, my younger my younger father. It's a whole freak accident with a time machine. I would just say, not that he's perfect, but that he is just not easily shaken. Mm. Like, things bother him. I've noticed, you know, there have been times where he's either come to me about stuff that he's concerned with, or stuff that he wants to work out, you know, between me and him. And it's like, that's all well and good, but it's just that there seems to be this really strong foundation, like a solidness to him. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, where it's just, he's not easily shaken up, even if some things bother him. So it's like he just kind of zeroes in on what needs to be addressed.
He's an oak tree, you know, the branches might blow around, but
there you go.
He's got good roots.
Yeah, that's, I think, the way to sum it up.
Knowing him just a little, I think that, I mean, I see that.
Yeah.
It's cool to hear
totally.
That. Same, I've met your sister once, and it was outside of church, and how gentle and giving she was. She then mailed a book to us.
Yeah.
Met her once. Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
It was Redeemed in Vision. Redeeming Vision. What's it called?
Nailed the promo.
I'm Steve Picorni. Good to meet you. It's Redeemed Vision. Everybody should wear name tags. That's my thought. So I'm right there with you.
Your Redeemed Vision is yours.
I'll take it.
Got it. Steve, what's your answer to this question about siblings?
My brother, Brian, he has a knack for knowing trends. Right, he has an awareness of this, right, and he's been in the field of advertising for a long time, and I really hope he does this. Where he's living in the country, he is noticing roller skating is back in style. It's really big.
All the other '90s things are back, so that
makes
sense.
'70s, '80s, It's not rollerblading, but roller skating. Skating is, but rollerblading is roller skating. And where he's at, there's no roller rink, and so he's trying actively to go into it. And he's not an entrepreneur in his past, but I think this could be part of his future, and I think he's going to do really well at this. So I'm pulling from that, and that's because he's observant of where trends are, and I love that.
That's super cool.
I hope he gets on a roll.
Hey,
that was good, Paul.
If he needs any help setting up stuff, we can help him skate right by it. Anybody else?
It's there.
Try one?
Anybody else?
Nope.
I'm gonna let your two attempts suffice.
See, if I do a kind of joke on that, I'd have to go into limbo.
Dude, I feel like... this is like kid pitch. I'm the tee. Paul comes and puts the ball on there. He shows you where to hit it, and then you knock it out of the park.
It's me. You ever heard the jump rope joke?
Go.
Skip it.
All right. Speaking of going, it's time for you to leave.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
And us as well.
It's our most hospitable exit ever.
But definitely you.
What if people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you?
Sure, best way is freedom-coaching.net. We're all over social media. Redeemed Vision is our handle.
Awesome. We appreciate that.
Real quick, I find it so ironic that it's freedom and net. Freedom.net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else? No? Okay.
Right,
all right.
There. No, right there. Right there.
All right, moving on.
It's good. But Steve's about to hit it with another big one. We're just waiting for it. Steve. That's not fair. Hey, so what is fair is to put you on the spot for
jokes.
A final. You got a joke?
Elephant jokes.
What is it?
Yeah, how do you put an elephant in the fridge?
How?
You open the door and you put the elephant in and close the door.
That is really spot on.
How do you put a giraffe in the fridge?
How?
You open the door. You take out the elephant, you put in the giraffe, and close the door.
Is there another one? What is it?
Yeah, no. The king of the animals was having a king of the jungle was having a party, and all the animals were invited, and everybody came except one.
Okay.
Which one?
The giraffe, because it was still in the fridge.
Yeah, no, okay. Seriously.
Steve, I wrote an article called How to Actually Eat an Elephant, and I tried to go into detail about how would you do it, because let's stop acting like this is just some nebulous
metaphor,
thing.
We're
going
to do it for real.
Yeah. I don't think it's a great idea to try to go get one, but if you had one you had to eat, here's what you would do, and you need a lot of cold storage.
A lot of trunk space.
Nice.
Okay. We want you to lead us out of here in a prayer, and here's why. The first time I ever met you, you... locked in on like just pumping me up before a pretty big talk, and then you said let's pray, and you grabbed me, and we did what I would call just one of the most I don't know, Holy Spirit blessed prayers I've ever had with a guy who 2 minutes earlier was a stranger. So I think you're great at praying. Why don't we pray for everybody who's listening who either won't admit out loud or is hurting through this episode or just needs to come out of that place of shame, so that we can give them the light of Christ and some hope on what to move forward with.
Let's offer it. Thank
you,
Jeff.
Let's do that.
Thank you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come divine will, pray in our praying. precious blood of Jesus, cover us and transform us. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this time. I thank you for the brothers here on the Beatitudes. I ask you to bless each and every one of them. I ask for a blessing upon all those who hear this, that may it not be our voice, but your voice, O Jesus. For those who are trapped in this compulsion of pornography, those who are attached to themselves, attached to the lie that they're not good enough, attached to the lie that they can never move forward in their life. May they hear the voice of truth, that voice of love, that they are worthy of love because they are your son or daughter. We ask for freedom, Lord, that you may bless them abundantly in that freedom. Bless the Beatitudes. Bless all the work here. May this podcast go to number one. May this also, this work of freedom coaching, may this be yours. Lord, may you bless each and one of our families. May we say yes to your divine will, for that is where our peace is found. And Mother Mary, we entrust this all to you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gentlemen and some ladies, we will see all of you in the light of the freedom. And for the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist.
God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.